take away a sense of humor from a family and it's living on borrowed time.
Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents a message called Termites in Your Trough.
Our civilization is built with a frown on its face, a scowl. 17 reasons why something won't work. Rather than let's all get it together and we'll make it work because I believe in you.
Yes, a home without humor can expect to bear the consequences. Sometimes we need to lighten up a little and enjoy some good old homespun laughter. Well, that's just one of the many principles we're learning in our current study on Insight for Living. We're glad you're with us to hear another message in Chuck Swindoll's classic series on marriage called Strike the Original Match. Today, we'll resume a sermon introduced last time. And if you missed any portion, we'll begin with helpful review. Our study is based in Ephesians chapter 5. Chuck Swindoll has titled his talk, Termites in Your Trough.
The longer I live, the more convinced I am that it's not the big problem that destroys a marriage. If you stop and think, the big problem strengthens most marriages. But it's the little insidious thing, it's the small habit that cuts the heart out of a marriage until finally, when it's crumbling to the ground, the couple wakes up and says to themselves, you know, we really do have a big problem after all. Let's begin by turning to the Song of Solomon. It's a normal expression of a love affair between a husband and his wife and a wife and a husband. And so you're not surprised to read in verse 14 of chapter 2, as he says to his bride, O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the steep pathway, let me see your form, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your form is lovely. And then in the flow of this narrative, we're surprised to read the next verse because it doesn't fit an intimate relationship. It's a punctuated warning where he says to her, catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom. The vineyard is, of course, a picturesque term for a relationship between a husband and a wife. The blossoms refer to the new and exciting ecstasies of their love life. But this wise young man says to his loving wife, let's pay attention to the little things that will snip and snipe and finally cut the heart and life out of our blossoming and growing romance. That's what he's saying. Now, turning from Song of Solomon to the great letter of Paul in the book of Ephesians, we come to a passage that will delineate some of the termites, and I have five in mind. Let me say a couple of three words regarding this chapter as a whole so that you'll know we're not yanking anything out of its proper setting. The passage from beginning to ending is written to the Christian. The second factor I want you to remember is that the chapter builds toward the climax of the husband-wife relationship. Now, the third factor to remember is that in these verses before us, 13 through 21, we have five insidious insects that eat away at the vineyard that destroy a home and a loving relationship. Let's just call them termites. Look at verse 13, will you? I think of it in the light of this analogy when he says, all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. And then he says to every one of us, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead. If I could paraphrase it, wake up, husbands, wake up, wives, listen to what God is saying about your home. And I think the apostle would shake our shoulders and say, listen to what the Lord is saying about your home. That's the thought. Now, with that serious warning in mind, let's pick up the first termite and work from there. Let's call him the confused termite, or the insect of confusion. Let me show you why I say that. Verse 15, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Take heed, therefore, how accurately you do something. That's the thought. Pay close attention to how exacting your walk is. It's a daily conducting of oneself. That's the thought. Now, that's why I'm talking about the matter of confusion. I'm taking the other side of it, because the passage goes on to say, not as unwise, but as wise. Not in a confused state, but in a clear understanding of your responsibility. Let me share with you what I observe in our day to be three reasons why husbands and wives are confused with their roles. And as, for that matter, their role as a mom and dad. The first reason I observe is the matter of intense propaganda. Our day is marked by propaganda against the monogamous relationship. There's another reason. What I want to call interpersonal relationships. That's another reason that we have a confused role between husband and wife or in their own area. Let me tell you what I mean. When you marry, you have one basic interpersonal relationship, the husband-wife, the wife-husband relationship. When you add one child to the relationship, the interpersonal relationship's better than double. There's a third reason also. The third reason is just plain immaturity. Many of you grew up after you married, right? Now don't nod or your mate will notice it. Just remember in your own mind. You might be surprised to know that in 1946, only 1% of couples married 18 or below. But 14 years later, by 1960, 38% of the couples that married, one of the partners was 18 or below. And you know what? It's growing, not lessening. This means that if you marry for 20 years and you married when you were 18, you're only 38 20 years later and you've changed. You've changed. What's happened? You've grown up. And now you're confused. I don't believe what I used to believe about that. Fine. But you're still married. And that starts the ball rolling, you see? This is the difficulty of what I'm calling the termite of confusion. And you let that gnaw and let that bite and eat away on the relationship, and it's just a matter of time until the walls start crumbling down. Unless, and I remind you again, it's in keeping with this book, and then you simply grow with it. You simply interpersonal relationship your life in keeping with this book. You simply fit the propaganda you're hearing according to this book, and you can handle it all. Take away this book, and I wouldn't give you 5 years of happiness, even the best couple here this day. It's the only book I know that has the timeless principles that never wear thin and never fail to work when properly interpreted and applied. Now there's another, the busy termite. That's verse 16. Be careful how you walk, says verse 15. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Making the most of your time. Because the days are evil. The best answer for the word evil I found in all my study was this. Evil means in direct active opposition against the good. That's the day in which we live. Our days are characterized as being in direct opposition against what is good. And so the writer naturally says, make the most of your time. Look at what he doesn't say. Spend all day at home. Doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't even say, spend most of your time, men, instead of being at work, at home. Nor does he say to the ladies, spend all of your spare time with your husband. What does he say? He says, make the most of the time you've got. That's qualitative in kind. I agree with Kenneth Gangle. He says this, the man who must travel 1 hour each way to his business in the city, besides spending 8 to 9 hours there, finds himself on the short end of the clock when it becomes necessary to spend time with his family. But here again, we are dealing with the matter of priorities. It is not so much a question of how the husband spends all of his time, but how he chooses to spend the time which he can afford to invest as he pleases. That's what we're talking about. Not all of your time, but the time you can afford to invest as you please. And don't tell me you don't have any time like that. That's what the apostle is saying. Make the most of. You see, I believe that a father doesn't necessarily have to spend hour upon hour upon hour every day with a child, lest he damage the child emotionally. I think you might have 15 minutes that would be fantastic. You come in and your boy says to you, Dad, let's throw the frisbee. Well, son, I only got 15 minutes and I got to get my work done. Well, come on, Dad. Oh, okay. Where is it? You get the frisbee. Come on, knock your face off. Whoa, throw that thing over there. That's no good. That boy says, go on in, Dad. I don't want to play with you anyway. But the father says, I'll tell you what, son, I got 15 minutes. It'll be the best 15 minutes of my day. Let's find that frisbee. And off we go. And you think that boy doesn't remember his father? Didn't have a lot of time, but the time he had was invested in quality kind of time. I ran across a poem this week. It doesn't rhyme, and so I was especially interested in it. Listen to this. Slow me down, Lord. Slow me down. Ease the pounding of my heart by the quieting of my mind. Steady the unhurried pace with a vision of the eternal reach of time. Give me amid the confusion of the day a calmness of the everlasting hills. Break the tensions of my nerves and muscles with the soothing music of the singing streams that live in my memory. Isn't that beautiful? The soothing music of the singing streams that live in my memory. Help me to know the magical restoring power of rest and sleep. Teach me the art of taking minute vacations, slowing down to look at a flower, to chat with a friend, to pat a dog, to read a few lines from a good book. Oh, slow me down, Lord, and inspire me to send my roots deep into the soul of life's enduring values, that I may grow toward the stars of my greater destiny. Now, that's profound. Not, Lord, give me more time, but, Lord, slow me down so I can put together the time I've got. You know what I've begun to notice about couples that are too busy? They stop having fun. You notice that about your home? They stop laughing. When is the last time you and your wife really enjoyed a belly laugh together? Not anybody around, no TV telling you what to laugh at. Just the two of you laughing at each other. Or laughing at something dumb you just did, or the other one just did, you know. Robert Hall Glover was a missionary statesman of the last generation, and he brought an address to a group of people in New York City, a very dignified group of people, and his address was entitled, quote, Things I Would Pack in My Missionary Trunk If I Were Returning to the Field Today, end of quote. That was his title. You know what the first thing was he mentioned? a sense of humor. You take away a sense of humor from a family and it's living on borrowed time. Our Americanized civilization is built with a frown on its face, a scowl. 17 reasons why something won't work. Rather than, let's all get it together and we'll make it work because I believe in you. You see, that didn't come from Carnegie. That came from Jesus Christ. The greatest positive thinker that ever lived was the Lord Jesus. Came all alone to a world that hated him, sinned against him, spit on him, and nailed him to a cross. And he never lost sight of his vision. He just stayed at it with positive determination, believing in that purpose. After I finished the first morning message, somebody stuck something in my hand I thought was so good on this busy termite. He says, you want to know what a fanatic is? A fanatic is a person who, when he loses sight of the goal, doubles his effort. When you lose your way, you run faster. That's the way many couples are today. I'm going to be very frank with you. I am not proud when our church calendar is filled with something every night of the week, every day of the month. As a matter of fact, I'm living for the day we can have less things, so we'll have more time to be who we are. You see, it isn't all happening down at this piece of real estate. What really is happening inside the walls of your home or apartment, or in those interpersonal relationships between you and your friends or you and your family. Redeeming the time because the days are in active opposition against the good. The busy termite says, I don't have time to mess with a relationship. Let's go to a third one. Right here in the passage, verse 17. The dull termite. So then, do not be foolish. Doesn't say foolish. Says foolish. Do not be foolish. The original word in the Old Testament, translated fool, meant thick, insensitive. It described something that had a thick callus on it and was insensitive and impervious to touch, even to pain. Something or someone who was thick. In the New Testament, as the etymology grew, it conveyed the idea of one who was inconsiderate. Remember that. The dull termite says, I don't care. It doesn't make any difference. And men, I want to say another word to us. We expect our wives to follow our direction. I can tell you for sure your wife expects you to be alert and sensitive to her needs. Could you right now sit down without being prompted by her or any one of your children and write down 3 or 4 of the critical areas that she's wrestling with in her life, or your children at the same? Why not? Because of the dull termite. The scripture says, do not be thick. Do not be dull. Do not be insensitive to your wife, to your children. Doesn't mean you've got to be there all day, but it means when you're there, you need to be all there. I had a terrific illustration of this when I was living in another area. There was a couple that built a home, and they had never built their own place. And the one dream they had was not so much that it had a roof over it, or 3 bedrooms or a garage, but it had a wood-burning fireplace. I really believe they built that home first with a fireplace in mind, then walls around it. That's the kind of desire they had for a nice, charming hearth in their home. And it was a lovely place. The home went up. Night or two went by. It was the middle of the summer, but the fellow was determined to have a fire in the fireplace. And so he sent his wife off to the kitchen. She closed the door behind her. She was going to fix supper. And he was going to enjoy all alone the fireplace. And he didn't know to open the damper that went up into the flue to let the smoke out. So it was closed. He lit the fire. Whew, here went the smoke and the fire. And he sat down behind a newspaper and favorite rocker began to read. And smoke went up covered the ceiling, then began to make its journey down, down in the room. Now, believe me, he didn't even notice it. He was reading, listening, enjoying the fireplace. And when the smoke came down to the top of his head, he just simply slid down in the rocker, and he literally went right to his back, just reading. And all of a sudden, his wife noticed something coming in out of the door. She walked in the living room. She says, "Honey!" And he was on his back with the newspaper like this, reading the paper. He said, "That's ridiculous." "That's right." "You wouldn't think that a grown man, first of all, wouldn't know that, and second, would at least be aware that smoke was in the house. But you haven't met some husbands that I have met. There are some, really, that'll flood the place with smoke day in and day out. Not literally, but emotionally. They're impervious to need. Not a sensitive cell, it seems, in their body. Till finally the wife says, "Husband, listen." I was with a couples conference in Flagstaff, Arizona. Finest couple you could imagine came to me with a real need. They had two children. The oldest was married. The youngest was a 20-year-old boy. He was on drugs. Been on drugs 4 years. Hardly missed a meal. Never slept away from the home. Lived in the house. And they never knew it until 2 weeks before the conference. 4 years. Stoned on drugs. One meal after another. And they never thought it could be true of their boy. You say, how can it be? The termite of dullness. This isn't some magical thing I've dreamed up. This goes on in homes all the time. But you never hear anyone getting a divorce because of dullness. That isn't grounds. But you see a lot of homes degenerating because of it. And to be fair about it, it isn't just with regard to the husband. Wives can be equally insensitive. He says, understand what the will of the Lord is.
Overlooking issues inside the four walls of our own home is not uncommon. And that's the purpose of today's message from Chuck Swindoll, titled Termites in Your Troth. There's much more coming, and you're listening to Insight for Living. If you'd like to hear more from Chuck on this important subject, he's responded to several questions on marriage, and those conversations are online. We posted video clips for you to view at your leisure. Just go to insight.org. At Insight for Living, we believe this timeless study belongs in the classic series category. And as such, we've completely remastered all 14 sermons on CD and put them into a sturdy slipcover. And the set includes a bonus CD interview with Chuck and his wife Cynthia. This classic series includes a brand new Bible companion study guide as well. You'll find it all at insight.org. It's called Strike the Original Match. As you enjoy this classic series on marriage, Chuck's voice is going out around the country and around the world as well. When you give a donation, you're actually investing in the relationships of other couples who hear these biblical principles too, and some of them for the very first time. Chuck?
Contrary to what many folks assume, Cynthia and I haven't been sheltered from heartache or disappointment. We are painfully normal, and yet we've made it this far. How could that be true? Because we've discovered from God's Word what it takes to make a marriage work long term. Cynthia and I have learned that a marriage stays strong only when both people remain committed during the difficult days. You see, it takes two. In many ways, the same is true of ministry. Would you stand with us today with a generous donation? Through the years, our commitment to you has grown stronger as well. But just as a marriage needs two to weather hard times, we need you. The key to survival, remember, is commitment, ours and yours.
And here's how you can respond to Chuck Swindoll's request. Call 1-800-772-8888 or write Insight for Living, Box 269,000, Plano, Texas 75026. You can also give a donation online at insight.org. We'd love to hear from you today. Call 1-800-772-8888 or write Box 269,000, Plano, Texas, 75026. And online, go to insight.org. Don't miss the conclusion to Chuck Swindoll's message on marriage, termites in your trough, on the next Insight for Living.